Well, extremely busy. A little bit of it, real quick, is pretty much everybody in my family, oddly enough, was born in October, but me, it seems. We have, probably a good 10 family members that was born there. Of course, my wife's birthday was on the 18th, so. We had that, and then I hate some of y'all didn't get to make it out, but the other night on a Friday, we had the Halloween party, so I was planning for that, getting that ready. It was extremely interesting on, I guess, the way the murder mystery went. Everybody seemed to. I have in mind that I just they were needing some help moving the other day. Oh my goodness. I didn't have time to record. I didn't have time to go and do anything that you wanted me to do because, well, I was busy. I had to go on go-karts every other day. I wanted to, beat my record on this game. I wanted to learn how to speak a different language. I didn't have time to read the Bible. I didn't have time to do anything. You wanted me to be prepared. I thought I had more time. You just came too soon. Or you made my life end too quick. I thought I had plenty of time. We get into that mindset. It's kind of. Verse 35. All right, and he talks about that we have to be ready. We need to be ready to. Their master to come home for the wedding feast, so that you may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. And blessed are those. Let them recline at the table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third, and he finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, if the master of the house has known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. And then Peter said, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all? And then the Lord said, who then is the faithful and the wise manager of the household? Someone whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will not set them over all his possessions. My master. And drink and get drunk. His master will. will. A severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was of him much will be required. Everyone to whom much was given, much of him will be required, and from him to whom they entrust much, they will be demand more. Well, I don't know if you know, but if you claim to be a Christian, you have a little bit more of a ups, so to say. You have a little bit more of a knowledge than the average person. Being in America, we kind of take it lightly. Sometimes I tell some of the kids at school, when I get to teach Bible over there, I tell them, I said, you know, if your grandmother was to give you $100, all right, and it was, you know, just given to you, I said, what are you going to do with it? Well, most people say, I'm spending it. I said, okay. So I said, so $100 is $100, right? Well, I said, work 2 weeks, and you're the only income for your family. I said, and you make $100 in those 2 weeks. What are you going to do with it now? Well, they're like, well, we're going to save it. I said, well, wait. I thought $100 was $100. What's changed? And they're like, well, see, you know, you don't get it. It's funny, the value of things. You know, like I said, there's sometimes that we go through life and we put more value on other things, and we kind of give God the back. You know, it's like, yeah, we got to pray, you know. Every once in a while, I get into the point where I just start praying before every meal. And it was there before that time, I would forget. It would be like, you know, I was trying to get into the routine of always praying for the meal, and it would be like, dear Lord, also please bless that food that I just ate before I remembered to pray. It's an afterthought. And sometimes I feel like we should be, you know, everything. You know, try to keep wake up, and then I would never say amen at the end. I would just keep going a long, long. You know, and you're just ready to give praise. why aren't we telling other people? $100 from my grandmother. You know, when we had that $100, its value is kind of diminished for us because we were like, oh, well, we're a Christian nation. You know, if you go and ask if they're a Christian, they're like, oh yeah, but then they, you know, they do crazy things at night and. turns out. Away, be like, hold on, I got too much food, you know? Here's a beautiful, beautiful place. And it's kind of a nice safe haven, but we could also spread this safe haven. And I think we do that. I think we do that really well, especially through reach. You know, when I see these guys, you know, I remember Jaquan, he was one of the biggest troublemakers, you know, when he was really small. In fact, I think we had to send him home a couple of times just because it's just being. And now to see him here, And being one of the leaders, oh gosh, that's so fantastic. It's such a beautiful sight. And then he brought over Ladarius. I don't know what he was thinking, but, you know. But it's awesome. I mean, and that kind of love spreads, all right? And then you start seeing more and more people coming around. And, you know, me and Chris have a little kid that comes every once in a while. I think his name is Ta'aqua. And his cousins usually don't always get on the bus. But when he saw the bus, he's like, guys, come on, let's get going. Let's get on the bus. That looks like fun. And like, I don't want to put on my shoes. He's like, no, come on. So he gets him to put on the shoes to come to church. And I'm telling you, this kid is one of the brightest kids we've had in our class in probably a good time. So, you know, he's just really smart. He knows what he wants. And to be that mature for such a young age is just unbelievable. But you know what? Somebody took time to help him learn about that stuff. Somebody took time to give him the knowledge that he has. And you know, that's what we do. We should take time for another person. It could be our best friend. It could be, like I said, a family member. To get them to realize that God is not something that's just a joke. These are not stories, all right? These are real life events. There's so much proof out there that proves. You know, like the there's a thing on Google you can search up. It's called the tabletop, and it's from talking about the Israelites crossing over the Red Sea when the Egyptians were chasing them. And what happens is, you know, we all know that the water came crashing down on all the Egyptians as they crossed. Well, if you know anything about coral reefs, they grow together. Okay, they all grow together. You don't ever see one kind of sporadic, you know, by itself. They all like to stick together. This area is really unique because they're all sporadic. I'm talking about like very far from each other, single-sized coral reef in this one spot out of all other places. So when you look at that area and you see about the tabletop, if you think back not too far ago about the Titanic and how there was coral reefs growing on it, all right, after a couple of hundreds of years since Moses had this, you know, splitting of the waters, obviously it would be full corals at this time. Well, the tabletop is kind of a cool picture because it's a 90-degree angle, and it looks just like a table sitting in the water. And that's where they think that he actually passed over because there were several other places. And out of all these coral reefs, they all had another thing in common. They all had a 90-degree angle. Well, that's not really that far-fetched to believe that, you know, this tabletop could be a chariot wheel with a stick and the other chariot wheel being underneath the ground. Now, they won't let you do research on it or anything like that, but isn't, you know, if you're a Christian, you know exactly what it is. You don't have to do research. You know what happened. And so there's truth up there. You know, I know that they used to talk about the underground Jerusalem tunnels and how they didn't exist. Yet the Bible said they did. And about 5 years after they said that it didn't exist, they found them. You know, it's just kind of cool how God does that. So when you really put trust in your hope and everything that you are into knowing and wanting to give that to other people, you find a beauty that's kind of hard to explain. You find the knowledge of wanting to bless others because you are so richly blessed. And I think that when we're prepared and we're able to go out and do what we do, that we make a difference. I mean, it's not that we personally, you know, are able to do anything, but it's God's light that's inside of us. We are jars of clay. And like I've heard in several prayers today that, you know, that it's not us, that it's what's inside of us. And that they see that and they want it. They want to know why we're different. Not because of us, but because of who's changed us. That's what they're looking for, is that change. And when we can be prepared enough to go and help people see that, man, God will definitely add daily to our church. All right, and I'm not always about numbers. I'd rather have good quality, you know, as far as that goes. But as far as numbers, I mean, that's just kind of how we see sometimes our growth. But I don't want to see anybody perish. You know, I thought about it. If I was God, I would hold off about as long as I have to, you know, 2,000-something years. So, you know, he said he was going to go prepare a place for us. Prepare a place for us. And when he's done, he's going to come back for us. Well, I don't know about y'all, but if I've never seen such a building that took 2,000 years to create, so this place must be awesome. So, as we think about preparing, you know, he's been doing it for us. We should do it for him and help others come to know Christ so they can also experience such an awesome place. So, if anybody has any reason to want to come up and need prayers, or if they want to put Christ on in baptism to become part of this amazing family of God, then come as we stand and sing.